Amen. The Lord is good. I'll start that. I'll say that again. The Lord is good. He is worthy of our praise, and I'm thankful for his word. I'm thankful for his son that gave for me. I'm thankful for his church that here I am. I get to be encouraged Sundays and Wednesdays and every time we come together. I'm thankful for our pastor and our staff. I'm thankful for Brother Earl, who always takes the time to come put an arm around you and ask if there's something he can pray with you about. I'm thankful for all that the Lord has done. And I hope you take time, not just on the hard times. We think about that song, Lord, I Need You. A lot of times we need him when we really need him. And we get to a point where we're in desperation mode. And that's good. But we ought to understand our need for him, every waking moment. Day by day, and I'm thankful that you're here tonight. Thankful that Pastor asked me to preach, and if you knew I was preaching and decided to come anyway, thank you. If you didn't know I was preaching and you were in for a shock, I'm sorry. Come back. Pastor will be back, and I'm so grateful that he asked me to preach, and so let's get into the Word of God tonight. James chapter number 4. Brother Tony was in James last week, and I had already intended on preaching this, and so we'll just get a good practical look at the book of James, which is a very practical book. James chapter number 4. James 4. Life is full of questions. You get a lot of questions. I don't know if you work in a place where you have to talk to a lot of people. You get a lot of questions, some of them good questions. Some of them also good questions, but you have to tell them they're good questions. There's no dumb questions, but I was told that as a student, you know, oh, no, there's no dumb questions. And then you ask your question, and the teacher, well, you know, that might have not been, I just answered that like 2 seconds ago if you would have been listening. Life is full of questions. But maybe one of the best questions most popular questions we come across, and trying to please the Lord and do what the Lord would will us to do is, what should I be doing? What should I be doing? We make plans. We make plans for vacation, plans for work, plans to maybe get fit. All good plans. But we're going to look at the book of James and what his instructions are to the Jewish believers here scattered abroad during persecution and spiritual compromise. Very practical look, feet to what this should look like. Living life. James confronts pride. Last week we learned about favoritism. We're not supposed to have favoritism one toward another. A lot of times, empty religion. Pure religion and undefiled is this, if you remember in James chapter 1. He talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty and not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And we're going to look this evening about the sin of knowing truth, but not living it. How are we supposed to live? Well, let's start by reading James chapter number 4, and we're going to look at verse number 13. Go to now. This is a way of getting attention. Hey, listen up. Everybody come together, you know, team meeting. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, so because of all the things I've been saying, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's ask the Lord's help as we study his word tonight. Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to come and guide us in all truth, Lord, to help us not to just be hearers of your word, but doers. Lord, we would seek you for wisdom. We would seek you for strength and power. Lord, we would not rely on our own strength, Lord, and be prideful. Lord, we know that you resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. So as we come to your word and we look at these verses that you've prepared for us tonight to hear and study, that we would receive it with meekness and we would be obedient to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what should you be doing? What stops you from doing what you ought to do? We make plans, we build calendars, we dream of promotions. Maybe you have a wall at home where you put some dreams, some place you want to go. I know some in this room had something they'd been dreaming for a while. Mrs. Wibley got to go skydiving. She'd been dreaming about it since she was 15. That's amazing. I did not dream about skydiving one time. I like to stay in the planes. I don't know what you dream for and have visions for, but we all have them. We have things that we're aspiring to achieve. And we have our first point. What should we be doing? Well, number one, you should start every plan with God. Start every plan with God. Go to now, come here. Ye that say today or tomorrow you're going to go into such a city and continue. You're making plans, and they're not bad plans. But you started it in the wrong way. You didn't start with God. You see, planning isn't the problem. Making plans is not the problem. It's planning without God that's the problem. These men, women, were making plans with no spiritual awareness. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus illustrated this parable. A rich man, he had a bumper crop. Luke chapter number 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? A lot of times we end there, but let's listen to the application. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And James, I think, is pulling from this passage, his half-brother, and he's saying, look, and so is he who makes all these plans and never once asks God. He wasn't doing evil things, this rich man who had this bumper crop. He didn't think, how can I rob everybody? No, he said, hey, I have abundantly. Look at all this. Look at all this. These crops that I have. I don't want to flood the market and make the price go down on these goods. Let me, what can I do? I can build some bigger barns. He was economical. He was thinking ahead. He was a good businessman. What's the problem? God said, you're a fool. He planned for retirement, but not for eternity. He planned for that 10 years of being relaxed. He talked to his soul as if what his soul needed was the things he just put in his barn. Did you read what he said? I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The problem is his soul didn't eat that kind of food. It didn't drink that kind of drink. It needed spiritual he was trying to feed it with the physical. He didn't start his plans with God. Pride impacts our walk with God. It impacts our treatment of other people. And it affects our future. See, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Do you remember Peter? When he said, oh, not so. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't deny you. With that sword strapped to his hip, he had all kinds of plans. Oh, when they come in and try to take my Jesus, I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to take a head. We're going to take the empire by force. Took his sword, cut the ear, and he said, whoa, what are you doing? Put the ear back on. Peter's plans were there in ashes. Speaking of ashes, he sat by a fire not too long after, sulking, and there he denied Jesus just as Jesus said he would. Thankfully, there's restoration, and he sat by a fire not too long after the resurrection, and he was forgiven by Jesus. Hey, can I tell you? Don't be proud and prideful, thinking that you know exactly the route ahead. We don't. I can barely remember what happened yesterday, let alone try to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or in the next 10 minutes. I don't know. I know what I want to do and where I want to go, but I'm not in control. Before you plan, pray. Do you remember where Peter was when Jesus went away to pray? He wasn't with Jesus praying. Sleeping. I think sometimes what we're doing is resting in our unknown future like we have some control over it. I've made my plans. It's going to be great. And we just rest. And we ought to have gone to the Lord in prayer. Before you move, submit. God, is this what you would want? Before you build that extra barn, seek God's face. Planning can get a whole lot easier when you bring it to the Lord. Planning without God is dangerous. It's even more sobering when we realize, when we come to our next verse, that life is short. Life is short. Yeah, we need to start every plan with God, but live like time is short. Because it is. We're told in verse 14 that it's a vapor. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time. We know these verses well. We've seen the illustrations, how smoke, and it's gone. But smoke is powerful. This steam is powerful. You know how they discovered the use of steam for powering things? The guy who was watching steam hit the pot lid of this boiling water, and that lid would shake and shake and shake. And this is a cast iron lid. And yet this steam, when it's focused and concentrated and put in the right place, has great power and potential. He said, hey, if I put that through some pistons, I can move a locomotive. I can do a lot of things with steam. Hey, your life is but a vapor. It's here for just a little bit of time. But put in the right place, used in the right way, by all-knowing God, that little poof can make an impact and have power. Live like your life is a vapor, because it is. This rich fool mistook his time on earth for eternity. He thought, I have many years. I'm just going to take it easy. But he didn't have another day. Go to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. Psalm 90 says this, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and wherewith and withereth. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80. And if by reason of strength they be 80, Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This psalm, written by Moses after he now is wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, watching a generation die because of disobedience, encouraging and reflecting to us and to all those who would read it, the consequences of disobedience and living life and how quickly it passes, especially apart from God's purpose. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The tale that's told in that little dash. Some might take a little longer to tell, but you can read a biography in 8-9 hours of a life that someone lived 70 or 80 years. We live our life as a tale that is told. Teach us to number our days. This isn't telling us to be like worried about how many days you have left. Like, oh man, like a countdown calendar where you're like dreading the days that are left. No, it's an accounting term. I'm holding account how much is this, am I valuing this day? And by the way, this is the only day that has value to you because you're living in it. Like tomorrow, you don't know. That's what the verse is saying. Number your days as they come across. Give it to the Lord. My life is a vapor. I don't know what the day has ahead, but I want to start it with you. And I want to live like it might be my last day. God's eternal nature, human frailty, all wrapped up in this psalm by Moses. That he loves us, that he gave him a glimpse of what was to come, but he couldn't go in. And Moses said, I don't want that. Be obedient. Life is fleeting. It's unpredictable. We ought to depend on God. Depend on God's will daily. Depend on God's will daily. Let's go back to James chapter 4. James 4:15. Depend on God's will daily. Number 3. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You can go to the next slide, by the way. Appreciate it. It's not about ending every sentence with, well, if the Lord will, I'm gonna go to the grocery store if the Lord will. I'm gonna drive home with the wall. Yes. But why don't we just start the day that way? Have our minds set that way from the very beginning. He'll be with us, and it's a mindset. It doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to end every statement you make. It's a good practice, but you don't have to do it. That's not the point here. The point is the mindset. Depend on God's will daily. Trust God with everything. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Problem is, we do it the opposite way. We seek first all these things that are supposed to be added to us. And we're like, well, as long as I got all this stuff, God can, he can come in anytime. That's not how it works. Seek the gift giver, not the gifts. You know, I think sometimes we think that God's will is hidden. Like there's no way to find it out. But God's will is not hidden. It's not hidden. It's revealed throughout his word. Where is it hidden? It's right there. We're going to go through them together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're supposed to have gratitude in every circumstance. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Testify of God Have good behavior. Live right. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants all to hear the gospel. He desires our holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In Ephesians 5:17, he tells us to be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Pursue understanding him. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. His will is revealed through Christ. Walk with him daily. In addition to knowing God's will, we need to know our purpose and our duty. Well, what are our purposes? Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. But there's more. Matthew 22:37-39 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That pushes that pride down. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has given us a lot of truth to be responsible for. A lot of things that we are supposed to know about his will for our lives. We may not know the exact way it's going to play out, but we ought to live our lives believing the verses that we read, and we only show our belief in them by our actions. A lot of times we think, oh, what does this mean? What am I supposed to do? Like waiting for some, you know, spiritual baseball bat to come hit us in the back of the head and give us direction, when he's already given us direction to go tell somebody about Jesus, to just do the right thing you know to do, and that you have space to do where you are, in your job, at your house, in the roles and responsibilities that he has already given you. Knowing God's will and our purpose comes with responsibility. And that's what James ends with. And this is it's a scary verse. And I think a lot of times when we read through it, we just kind of skim over it and we don't give it the weight that it really has. Obey what you already know. Go back to James chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Don't boast in things you have no control over. You're presuming upon God. You're pretending and you're playing God, which you can't do. That's evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Don't delay the obvious. Don't put it off. Obedience is the fruit of wisdom. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and it shows what a Christian ought to be doing. You ought to be displaying these things. Are you wise? Are you, well, what's a fruit of someone who is wise? Obedience. We read earlier Psalm 90. I'll bring it back to your memory. Teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When you realize that life is short, that you're not guaranteed a tomorrow, that you're not so far in the future thinking about what it's going to be like one day, that you'll be wise today with the time that you have. The time you have promised is that breath you just took. We know a lot of truth. We listed a bunch. I'm going to list a few more. Remember, we're responsible for all these things that we're listing out tonight. Psalm 1:2, we're to delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate and delight in the word of God. Not just at church, but in your own personal study. How do I know that? Well, because 2 Timothy 2:15 instructs us to study, self-approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This is an important part of this verse, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't use the word of God as a sword to cut everybody else down. You know, that double-edged sword is meant to pierce our hearts before it ever touches anyone else. We're to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 4:32, we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How are you doing so far on this list? I'm not doing too good. I've got to forgive people. I've got to spend time praying and studying. I've got to find delight, but sometimes it's not very delightful when I'm being corrected. Sometimes they don't deserve to be given kindness. Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The church is a body. We need all the members here working together. When you're not here, it hurts. We're missing part of the church. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Love God, love others, give the gospel everyone, everywhere. James 4:17 tells us that it's not just that we're responsible for the wrong we do. We're also responsible for the right that we don't do. The truth that we know, we're responsible for. We're not just accountable for the wrong we do, but the right we fail to do. So guess what? As you learn more, you have more to obey. I like comics. I like Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Christian, with great truth, great power that you have through the Holy Spirit in you, who guides you into all truth, comes great responsibility to stand for that truth that you know, to defend it, to know it, to obey it. There's a lot of things that we can be worried about. The future, we can be excited for it, you can be anxious about it. Matthew 6:34, Jesus instructs us not to take thought of tomorrow. Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've got enough problems today. I can't solve every problem in the future. I can plan for it, but I better put God first. So what are you going to do with what you know? What are you going to do with what you know? Well, what should I be doing? What should I be doing? Well, I should start every plan with God. I should live like time is short. I should trust God with everything. I should obey what I already know. But I think we ought to change our question to not what should I be doing, but what will I do with what I know? What will I do with what I know? That is the question that we should ask. Life is short. Time is moving. You have responsibilities where you are. I don't know what stage of life you're in, but regardless of the stage, God has a perfect plan and will for you, and it's included in the verses we've read tonight. The truth you already know about. The truth you already know that you've Maybe we could go to any of the youngest ages in our Master Clubs groups tonight and ask them, and they would be able to tell you the principles and the truths that God's word holds. Well, why do we read them? What's the point of knowing them? Well, the point of knowing is obeying, to be wise. God doesn't want you to just hide his word in your heart so that it can stay there and never come out. No, it's so that you won't sin against him. It has practical application. God is calling us to obedience. Are you going to build barns? Are you going to build your trust in God? That while this doesn't make total sense to my brain, Lord, I know by what your word says and the way you're leading, this is what I need. And guess what? You can take a step of faith. And if God doesn't want you to go that way, he'll shut the door. But if you've gone to him first, said, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and just twiddle my thumbs and hope and wonder and be like the steward who just buried that talent under the ground and just hoped. No, I'm going to take a step of faith. And I'm going to trust God. Hey, he's told me to reach the world. I'm going to go witness to my neighbor. Don't ignore the voice of God. Don't delay obedience. Maybe you have. Maybe there's been that voice and you said, no, not right now. I don't have time. It's okay. There's forgiveness. We can confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. I'm thankful for that truth. But you know that truth. And so you're responsible for, well, I knew he would forgive. What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So take inventory tonight. There's a lot of inventory to be taken. And this isn't something to beat up ourselves with. It's just a mirror. That when we look into it, it shows us where we're at. And it doesn't leave us there. It gives us a way to get out. God gives us friends and family to turn to for help. Find them, pray with them, ask them to help you. There's people who've gone before and there's people who are coming behind. People that you need to encourage. And you can share your testimony about how God was faithful to you. And hey, I gave God this plan or this scenario, and I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I left it in his hands, and he was faithful. And encourage people to obey the truth that they know. Tell people the truth. Submit your future to God and act on what you already know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you give us a great blessing by giving us your word, revealing it, revealing yourself to us. But Lord, you also give us a great responsibility and burden that we can't carry on our own. It's impossible. Without you, it's impossible to accomplish all you've given us to do. So we need your strength. We need your power. Well, we want to start every day with you. We want to start every plan, every possibility with you. That we wouldn't take to account financial or personal gain or loss. Lord, we think only about the spiritual. Lord, that you'll supply all our need. That you will meet all of these things that shall be added unto us. What if we'll just seek you first? We need your wisdom. We need your help. Tell us that we can come to you when we need it. And Lord, we need it daily. So help us not to live life just looking for the next big thing or next vacation where we can get away. But Lord, we would look forward to the next moment, the next day, the day that you give us to live, that little vapor, and Lord, you would direct it to have great impact on our world. Well, we can only do it through your help and your strength. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had to study your word, and I pray that we would not be just hearers, but doers. In Jesus' name we pray.